Second chapter of Ephesians, speaking of the church and beginning with verse 18. This is speaking of the church up at Ephesus, and they had been born as Gentiles, but now they're all in the church of God. It says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. They had been foreigners of a different nationality. You're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Now talking about national citizenship. And the saints have a citizenship with God. And you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now it's a family relationship. Now the church is a nation. The church is a family and a family relationship, the household of God. Now notice what else the church is. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You build a building of stone, of wood, and of materials like that on a foundation. Now notice he's talking about a building now on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, now the church is a building, all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple. Now the building becomes a holy spiritual temple. That, my brethren, is the temple to which Christ is coming. Did you think maybe the Jews were going to tear down the Dome of the Rock across there on just to the west of the Mount of Olives, on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, and build a temple for Jesus? Oh, no, he's not coming to a physical temple. He's coming to a temple that will excel Solomon's temple by far in glory. Well, the temple that Zerubbabel built didn't excel Solomon's temple in glory. But Christ, the second time, is coming to a temple that will. Now, what temple is he coming to? He's coming to the church. And when he comes, the dead in Christ that have died in the church will rise first in a resurrection. And we, which are alive and remain at that time, will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal will put on mortality, immortality. And we will become God beings, no longer physical beings. Our faces will shine like the very sun. That is the glorious temple to which Christ is coming. We're to rise and meet him in the air as he's coming, and his feet will stand in that same day on the Mount of Olives. It's talking about this church. Now, Zerubbabel built a temple to which Christ came the first time. Zerubbabel was a type of someone. Oh, I'm sorry. Did they hear that? I can't help it. I'm trying to give you a good message here. Well, I hope it'll stay put this time. But I tell you, these little gadgets, just a little tiny microphone, it's a marvelous thing. It magnifies my voice so you can all hear it. So I'm glad we have it. Anyway, Zerubbabel built the temple to which Christ came the first time. He was a type, a forerunner of someone to build the spiritual temple, the church, to which Christ is coming the second time. Brethren, you are that temple. That ought to thrill you clear from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You are that temple to which he is coming, to whom he's coming. A glorified temple, glorified and raised up to meet him in the air in a glorified form. No longer human flesh and blood. Now composed of spirit and absolutely God, just as Christ is God and just as God the Father is God. That's what God has in store for you and for me, if we will overcome, if we will walk with him, if we will agree with him. And if we will do, as he said to Zerubbabel, get in there and work, which is what we'll have to do. Now I'd like to go a little farther here in Zechariah, where it still continues about Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a type of someone God was going to use to raise up the church that'll be the temple to which Christ is coming now. Now Zerubbabel wasn't the greatest man in the world. God had to stir him up. They wanted to lounge around and take it easy a while. If you read the whole history back there, you'll have to read a lot more than I read to you. God had to get after them to make them get busy and work. I wonder if he doesn't need to get after us a little bit so we'll work a little harder. But notice over here in Zechariah, the 4th chapter, "Then he answered and said unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." Now, it's Zerubbabel still here in the picture. "Saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Zerubbabel didn't have a lot of physical human power either. But he was a type of someone God was going to choose that would not have much physical, mental, human power, but whom God would use through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Notice, "not by your physical power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Now here's another thing. If this means this, if God's church is being built to which he's coming, and if I have had something to do with it, and if I haven't, I don't know who did. Notice verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Meaning, in the antitype, the prototype, or whatever you call it today, this church. As he did at that temple that Christ came to the first time, his hand shall also finish it. Maybe God will keep me alive until it's finished. How near finished is it now? I don't know. Maybe it's more nearly finished than we think. But he says his hands shall finish it, and God will keep him alive until it does. And someone of little power and little strength in himself, it's going by the power of the Spirit of God. And let me tell you, that's the power that created the whole earth and everything in it. That's what it is. So there is the temple to which Christ is coming. Now, let's get back to Revelation 12 again. I've been filling in a lot of things as we've gone along, and now we're ready to come up to verse 7. We're getting down to our time. We've gone through the 1260 years in the Middle Ages. Here is the church. God has raised up someone to do it. You are that church. The Sardis area had gone to sleep spiritually. They were virtually dead. God has raised us up, and we've come alive. I hope we have. So now, coming back to the 12th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 7. Now we get down to our time now, when this church is either already raised up or still being raised up. And the woman, meaning the church, it's verse 7 I want. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels," or now demons, "cast out with him." Now there again, there's duality. Back in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, you read of this Lucifer that was on the throne on earth, who became the devil. And he ascended up to heaven to try to knock God off the throne, but he was knocked back down to earth. Now that was before even Adam was created. That's before mankind was ever created on the earth. But here it shows a time now, in our time, when he's gone up a second time to try to conquer God. And this time God just simply delegated it to Michael and his angels to contend with him, and Michael and his angels were given power to cast Satan and his demons back down to the earth. I think that happened just before the state of California tried to attack this church. My brethren, I have been persecuted ever since I gave myself to Christ. I was never persecuted in all my life before that. I had troubles before that, but our troubles were financial sometimes, and they were just little things. But there was no persecution. No one ever persecuted me. The minute I became a minister of Christ, the persecution set in, and it's been coming ever since. But that was on me. But the church as a whole was never persecuted until the state of California attacked us with all of the power of the greatest state in the United States. California now is the number one state in the country. It's bigger than this state of Illinois, wonderful as this state is. So I think we just probably passed this time when that war in heaven has taken place and Satan is back down, and now notice what he's doing. He's been attacking us. The great dragon was cast out, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. You see, we're getting right down to the time when Christ comes, his salvation comes with him. Salvation doesn't come when you accept Christ. It comes at the second coming of Christ. He brings that salvation with him. And saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. You see, the time when he comes to set up the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan was up there accusing the brethren and has been for about 19... Well, I don't know how long he's been up there, but when he was up there, that's what he was doing. And they, the brethren, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That doesn't mean that they all died, but at least they put the word of God ahead of their own life, and they loved it more. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. The devil is now just full of wrath. He's so full of anger. He knows he has but a short time. Notice here, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. How does he know? Because this gospel of the kingdom is now being preached for the first time in 1900 years around the world. And when you know that, you know that the coming of Christ and the end of this world is near. I read you that a while ago. Now notice it. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman and who brought forth the man-child. And to the woman, now this is the church, this is not just the leader of the church, this is the whole church, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time. Now this is 3.5 years. Not a day for a year, but a day is a day, and a year is a year here. This is only 3.5 short years in the end time. Before the end time, back in Middle Ages, a day was a year being fulfilled. Now it isn't. That's the duality plan of the prophecies of God. For you should be protected for 3.5 years. That's the duration of the Great Tribulation. The church is to be taken to a place of safety. I've been preaching that for the last, how long? 30, 35, 40 years. I've been proclaiming that. Now I want you to notice, this time she is to fly on the two wings of a great eagle. The first time in the Middle Ages, the church had to go on her own power. She had to flee on her own feet. But now she's to be taken to a place of safety. It's a different time altogether. I don't know how God's going to do that. I think he'll reveal it in time. And if he reveals it to me first, I'll get it to all the rest of you. Now, let's see. I want to carry on now to verse 16. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood, and the earth helped the woman. So the earth is going to help us. I think that has something to do with the place of safety where we're to go. And swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And now that's all I want to read now. Now will come the great tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning, or since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. And that word alive ought to be there, and it is in some of the other translations. In other words, it's a time when humanity would be destroyed. Like it said about Elijah, unless God comes and smites the earth with total destruction, the whole earth, no one would be saved alive. But, verse 22, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. For the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Now then, I want you to get the time. What will happen right after the great tribulation? That's the great tribulation. There's something else that happened at that time. I'll have to come to that a little later, and that's the two witnesses and what they're going to do, but we'll get to that in just a minute. So now come right on to verse 29, which is the next event in the same 24th chapter of Matthew. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, now this is immediately after the tribulation, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And that all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and just consternation is going to fill people on the earth, because God is going to start to intervene in great supernatural signs up in the sky for the first time. Now then, that's immediately after the tribulation. Now I'd like to have you turn back to Joel, the second chapter, and verse 28. Joel 2:28, where he's speaking of the same thing and says, and it shall come to pass afterward. No, that's not it. Wait a minute. Well, now, just a minute here. Oh, no, it's verse 31. I just hit the wrong verse. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, same thing that I just read, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. The day of the Lord is God's intervention. And when he intervenes on the earth to stop the hellish great tribulation, which is the wrath of Satan the devil. That's what it will be. And we're getting very close to that time. Now, there's one thing else to happen just before that. Maybe I'll have time to cover that pretty soon. But now back to Revelation, the sixth chapter. Revelation 6. And the fifth of the seals that is opened in this is the Great Tribulation. And now, right after the Great Tribulation, when the sun and the moon are to be dark and those things, notice here it is in another scripture in Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, the stars of heaven fell to the earth. That's right after the great tribulation now. And even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, that can't mean stars that are bigger planets than the earth or bigger than our sun. That has to mean a sort of a meteor shower, I would think, when she is shaken by a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. That's when they see the sign of the Son of Man up in heaven. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, getting down to all kinds of people, from slaves up to the greatest, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and cried out to the mountains and to the rocks, said, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They see the wrath of Christ now. They can see it coming up in the sky. These things are going to frighten people out of their wits. They won't know what to do. They're going to try to seek death even. For the great day of his wrath, that's the day of the Lord, is come. And who shall be able to stand? Now that is the coming of the day of the Lord at last. Now we go right on to the seventh chapter, which comes next. Now, after these things, after those signs in the sun and moon, that hasn't happened yet. That's going to happen just a little later now. And after the great tribulation. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, neither on the sea. Now, these are trumpet plagues. You blow into a trumpet. And the trumpet plagues are now about ready to be blown. But here comes an angel. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, which is the Holy Spirit. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. See, it's not people. It's going to fall on the earth itself rather than people. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, you'll notice a reference on that in Ezekiel 4 and verse 30. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there was sealed 144,000 of all of the tribes of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Judah. Well, he goes on to mention them. But you'll notice the children of Israel are mentioned in a different time order than they are back in Genesis and other places in the Bible. Here Judah is mentioned first, and then Gad and Asher of the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Manasseh comes next. And then Ephraim comes in as Joseph later on, next to the last. The tribe of Zebulun, and finally it gets down to Benjamin. Each one 12,000. After this, now verse 9, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, white robes of righteousness of saints. Here are people that have come out of the great tribulation. This is after the great tribulation. This hasn't happened yet. We're getting into the near future right now. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and about and about the elders and the four beasts, or four living creatures, it is sometimes translated, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence did they come? This great innumerable multitude, beside the 144,000. Who are these? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of, and you'll notice in the Revised Standard Translation, it is the great tribulation. They came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes. In other words, they've repented of their sins, is what that means, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb after the great tribulation. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night. That will be a church that will follow this church. And they will come out of the great tribulation. We are the Philadelphia era of the church. Now, I want to carry you just a little further about that. Now, we have to turn back to Revelation 3 once again and carry on right after the Philadelphia era of the church. And beginning now with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. Right. These things says the Amen, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, which was Christ. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There is the Laodicean church. Other things are said there. I won't read any further about that right now, but you find a little more about that in Matthew 25. I'd like to turn back to now Matthew 25. And the parable here that Jesus is speaking, the beginning of Matthew 25. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him. Matthew 24. I mean the 25th chapter. Now, Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, and Matthew says kingdom of heaven, but Mark, Luke, and John all call it the kingdom of God. It's not a kingdom in heaven or a kingdom in God, but a kingdom owned by God and owned by heaven. Then shall the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now this is getting right down to the time of the coming of Christ. This is after the great tribulation. This is not speaking of our church. This is speaking of a time just ahead of us and the Laodicean church, which is yet to come. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. You see, the lukewarmness, half of them were all right and half were not. But the wise took oil in their lamps. They that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. They didn't have any lamp. Now, the lamp is the Bible. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet. The oil is the Spirit of God that will open the Bible to your understanding. Without the Spirit of God, you can't understand the Bible. That is the light that lights up the lamp so you can understand it, and makes it a light so you can see it and understand it. But the wise took oil in their lamps, in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried. Now, Christ has been, as they say, tarrying or not coming quite as soon as some people thought. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They just went to sleep on the job. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him." Now, the midnight hour was approaching. Here comes the second coming of Christ. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Well, give us of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for you and us, but you go to those that sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. The second coming of Christ had happened. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage and into the kingdom of God, the marriage when we will become the wife of Christ. Afterward came the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Therefore Jesus said, we better watch and be sure that our lamps are full of oil. In other words, the Bible, that we have the oil of the Holy Spirit in our minds so we can understand the Bible and know the Word of God and be close to God. Are we getting lukewarm, or are we close to God? Well, that's exactly what we need. Now, let me see. Then Matthew 24:30. Why did I have that here? Oh, yes, Matthew 24:30. I read right up to it. The 29th verse, immediately after the tribulation, the sun and moon will be dark. Now, here's the next verse after that. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And that comes down to the second coming of Christ. Now, we turn back to Revelation once again, and this time to Revelation 12, 17. Now, the last verse of Revelation 12, as I didn't cover that before, we just got right down to it. Wait, where am I here? Revelation 12 and verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That is the Laodicean church. He will then the remnant, the last part of the church, the last one of these seven churches that are spoken of the churches in Asia back in the second and third chapters of Revelation. The remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They were in the church all right. The Laodicean church is the church of God, but they were lukewarm. And half of them, they had lost the Holy Spirit. And that's where they were. Now we're ready to close this thing. I don't know how much time I've taken. I'm going to look to see. Oh, I think I'm right on time. I'm a little over an hour, but I expected that. Now we go to the 11th chapter of Revelation. Revelation 11. And verse 15. Where it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms, or the government, of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever. And then we turn over to the 19th chapter of Revelation, and will read here in the 19th chapter that, in verse 11, well, beginning with verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. The coronation ceremony will have taken place up in heaven before he comes back. That he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, showing that it is the blood of Christ that is shed for our remission of our sins. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Matthew 25 says they are all the holy angels, clothed in fine linen, white and clear, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. That sword is the Word of God, because it shows you what you're doing that's wrong, and that seems to hurt people to know how wrong they are. But it's only straightening them out so they'll do the right way and live the right way and do the right thing. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And that comes down to the second coming of the glorified Christ. Now we go on into the 20th chapter. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he had, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. At last, glory be to God, Satan the devil will be gone. Oh, how glad I'll be. I want to tell you, brethren, you don't know how Satan has been smiting me lately. And it's a horrible, terrified thing. I just can't see the most ugly, terrifying faces coming at you. It's just like you could see them. But Satan is going to be put away. He laid hold on that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were filled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. and people are going to follow him once again when that happens. I'm not going to go that far today. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given. That's the saints. That's you and I. Judgment was given, will be given to us. And the judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. That goes back to the martyrs that were martyred. And there are going to be other martyrs yet ahead of us. And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And that'll be the 1,000 years reign of peace. The kingdom of God will have come at last. Brethren, the mission of this church is this. As John the Baptist was a human messenger who was a voice crying out in the physical wilderness of the Jordan River, there is a human voice crying out today in the spiritual wilderness of religious confusion. Of every confused kind of religion in this 20th century. That voice was crying out to prepare the way of a physical Jesus coming to be born of a virgin. Today the voice is crying out, preparing the way for the spiritual Christ to come in power and glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That Jesus came to a physical people. This Jesus is coming to a glorified people that will rise to meet him in the air and be changed from mortal to immortal and be glorified even as he will be glorified. He came then to a physical people. He's coming to a spirit-begotten and spirit-born people this time. He came then to proclaim that more than 1,900 years later he would set up the kingdom of God. This time he's coming to set up the kingdom of God and bring peace to this whole earth for the first time in the history of mankind. Well, brethren, that is the message of prophecy for our day, starting from the time of Christ on down. I've just given you a quick, hurried, brief summary. I've never put it together that way before myself, and I don't think you've ever heard it put together that way before. But I thought it would make a good message for you and would show you where we stand today. And as God said to Zerubbabel, get busy and work. I am with you, says the Lord. It's not by your own power, but by my Spirit. Let's get closer to God. Let's pray harder than we ever did. Let's get closer to him until we're walking with Christ as we never did before. That's my appeal to you, brethren. Time is going fast and rapidly. I'm working harder than I ever did before. I think God can keep me alive as long as he needs to. I know in less than 3 months I'll be in my 90th year. I don't know how time's gone by. I suppose I've passed middle age, but I never reached middle age. I never knew of it. If I did, I don't know when it was. I never grew older. I never even believed in it. But all of a sudden, I look on the calendar, and I see that the calendar says I'm older. I don't feel it. I don't believe it. I'm turning out more work than I ever did in my life. I'm trying to write more for you to read. Some of you have a hard time reading enough to keep up with me. But I'll continue. I'll continue my part. Will you? You said, hundreds and thousands of you write in, many of you all together, that you're back of me 100%. Oh, thank you, brethren. But are you praying as hard as I am? Are you working as hard in this work as I am? Nothing else counts. Nothing else counts at all. The things of this world are of no good anymore. Let's look forward to the world tomorrow. It's coming. And I've shown you what will happen between now and then. I've shown you right where we are and where the church is. I didn't go so much into world conditions this time as I did the condition of the church. But that is my message for now, so thank you all, brethren. I wish I could see you. All I see is darkness and a lot of lights up around the ceiling and the roof. And I've had to preach to you without seeing you, and I'd much rather look into your faces. I wish I could have. However, I've enjoyed coming back to know that I'm in Chicago and talking to our dear brethren here in Chicago God be with you and God bless you. Keep praying for me and praying for the work. Remember that while Satan is very angry right now, that God is still on his throne. And I tell you, the work is still going ahead and it's gaining everywhere. I hope it won't be long till we'll be on television here every day. But we're on a very fine station here now, and I tell you, record results are coming in. And your local ministers are going to have a lot more people to talk about being baptized very soon now. And I hope there'll be more of you, more to join you, and more to be with us in the church and to carry on the work. So, goodbye, everybody, and God be with you and bless you all.